Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now, covering the week's biggest topics in wrestling, pop culture, sports, and more, this is NAI Live with Jason Maltoff, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Oh, baby!
Want to shout out Bill Neville live from the Quantum Realm for the intro.
Yeah.
It was
it's me all the way over here.
I am looking for Peg.
That's until I get to replace it with the professional voiceover, which I haven't gotten yet.
We get to do spoilers, right?
Yeah, the band's lifted. Spider-Man even said it.
Oh, yeah.
Ironically enough.
He comes back at the end. What?
I know. Well, that's the funniest part about that is there's a good bit of irony in Tom Holland at the beginning of the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer.
I love Spider-Man.
Being like, look, here's the deal. We're going to release this trailer, but there's a lot of Avengers Endgame spoilers, so... Tough.
Yeah, right. Yeah, here we go. Yeah.
So tough.
Right. It's also like the point where I've seen it twice.
Yeah.
If it's like la 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 la, ah, you would have seen it by now. Like, I'm sorry, you would have. There's some theaters that are 24 hours.
Right.
Just showing this thing. Like, seriously.
Yes.
There's some theaters around here that have like 25 showings in one
day. There is no excuse. I believe that opening weekend into that second weekend, you had some leeway. Like, hey, let's all be nice.
I think 2 weeks has been fair.
Yeah, but look, here's the deal. If you wanted to see this bad enough that it's like, oh, I don't want to hear the obvious spoilers that happened in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know what?
The good guys win.
Yeah, but not
what?
Even... You know, it's like, that's on you, man. Yeah. That's on you.
Yeah, I can't believe it. The world... How about they didn't kill half the roster?
Yeah, right. The world can't stop for you.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I'll stop the world and meld with you.
But I won't not talk about anything.
I won't talk about how... you know what the funny thing is? And now's not the time, because we do have topics. They're listed. This isn't one of them, I promise. Because I know there are some people that are like, I hope you guys just aren't an Avengers cast. And it's like, we're not. It's just like, you got to understand, this is the biggest movie in the fucking world.
It's the biggest movie of all time.
Ever. I love it. I will say this, and maybe we'll do a show about it. Maybe we'll get our friends together and do a big group thing about it. I've now seen it in theaters twice.
Yep.
There are things they left on the table. I just think Infinity War is better. There, I said it. Infinity War is better.
Okay.
Well,
go listen to our
we have a show. It's on iTunes.
Yeah, there was a special podcast that we did.
It's on iTunes, because it's funny too. Dylan texted me and he goes, I just saw it. I feel the exact same way you do. But listen, you might feel the same way Stryker does, or Bill, or all of us. Come on, I show all of us. But it's on iTunes, Podomatic, Lork, Normal, Stitcher. It's on NewAgeInsiders.com. You can find it. It's all it is. It's an isolated, full of spoilers, Avengers Endgame review. And we'll talk about all sorts of things. Underrated movies, overrated movies on the docket. Yeah. Disney released their schedule.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Sonic, because that nightmare happened, and then that nightmare had a happy ending, maybe.
We will talk about WWE's wild card rule, which makes a lot of sense and is very well constructed.
Yeah,
I think
they're
a
very
agree.
Good program that completely has its pulse on what its fan base wants.
They definitely get it, and the ratings are reflecting that more and more by the month.
Well, as Vince McMahon says,
I'm a genius!
Yeah. Whoa, yeah!
Yeah, of course, buddy.
As Vince McMahon? Yeah, right. My favorite part about the modern-day Vince McMahon character is it's just him playing into internet-based stereotypes that are true.
Yeah, right. Right.
You know what I mean? He's like, Kofi, we don't like guys like you winning around here, wink, wink. And it's like, oh, yeah, Vince is playing the trolls, except there hasn't been a black champion yet. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's what he's doing now. It's like, Vince goes out there and goes, I have all the right ideas and I'm always right. And everybody goes like, oh, Vince is playing us. He goes, well, yeah, he does think that though.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't let him fool you.
Yeah.
This is like one of those like hiding in plain sight kind of things.
Well, because the wild card rule, and spoiler, we'll talk about it later, but it's more like, hey, I'm going to allow multiple people from the other show to come on this show. I'm a genius.
Yeah, because I'm a genius.
It's going to bring excitement back to our programming. And it's like, yeah, but like in the same way that like pop rocks is excitement.
Oh,
like you throw it in and it starts popping. You're like, oh, this is fun. And then it immediately goes away.
Yeah. It's just fizz. I don't even know what I did. Free_Rod05, which I think is Rod. You're wrong. Okay.
Cool.
Talking, saying that Infinity War was better.
Oh no, it was. We'll talk about it at a different time.
Go listen to the show.
We have stuff to talk about this evening. But you know, Rod, I love you anyway. All right. So what are we talking about first? That's a great. Well, I didn't know if I was doing it, if you were doing it. I don't know.
Well, I put it there for reference.
Well, we're going to talk about the Disney, Pixar, Fox, and everything else that they have going on lineup through 2027 that Disney announced.
Neat. You know, the funny thing is that I do remember them doing this, like, I don't know, must have been like close to 10 years ago now, where they're like, here's the next 10 years of your life. And I'm like, well, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, holy shit, they're going to, like,
I'm going to see an Aladdin live action movie, it's this month.
Right, but no, but, like, I remember, I'm talking about, like, 10 years ago, maybe it was, I don't even, a little bit longer now, when they were like, yeah, in, like, 5 years, we're making an Ant-Man movie. And I'm like, what is going on? You know what I mean? Like,
more recent than that, but I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? Like, they looked at, they showed you, like, Ant-Man came out, like, 4 years ago or something, right? Yeah. So, I mean, like,
Ant-Man was 2015, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, a down the road, here's a preview thing. So, I mean, the thing honestly must have come out in like 2010, 11-ish. It's almost 10 years old. But it was just the point that it was just like, oh, okay, they're going to make a couple sequels I expected. That's neat. Black Panther's getting a movie. They're making this live thing with The Rock, because I'm sure they did. And, you know, but then I'm like, what? Ant-Man? A movie? And then I'm just like, I don't know, man. This will be interesting. And now I'm not going to get fooled again, where Disney's like, here's the next 10 years of your life. And I'm like, sure is, I bet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right.
If history tells us anything, I'll see 70% of these in theaters and 100% of these eventually. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's what kind of strikes me about these Disney movies at this point, where it's just like, what do you think? It's like, I think I'll probably see them all. I haven't seen Dumbo yet because that story makes me sad.
Was it good? It wasn't nearly as sad as the other one.
Okay, good. It wasn't just basically being like circus elephants are tortured and this one got separated from his mom.
I mean, that
but
that
he's
happened.
Magic.
Yeah, yeah. But spoiler he's got alert. Big gizzards and flies.
Right,
yeah.
Like we treat all these animals just abhorrently. But this one we kind of like. He's got a feather or something. We can't figure it out. We don't ask questions.
We also don't talk about the crows.
I thought it was the feather.
The feather makes him sneeze.
And then
the sneeze makes him fly.
Yeah. So if he sneezes,
he goes up, his ears go like crazy.
So it's like a reverse, like just crazy fart.
Yeah, yes.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, but we can't talk about the crows that gave it to him.
Yeah, oh, no, definitely not.
That's the worst.
Those Jim Crows.
Oh, I don't never see an elephant. Just, oh, Jesus Christ. I was like 7, and I was like, I don't know why, but I don't like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this doesn't feel right.
I didn't even have like a global scope of anything. Yeah, right. I don't like those birds.
These birds are weird. You know what? They should be the vultures from Jungle Book. I like them better.
What's on the docket? Like, what are the big things that people are talking about on this list?
Obviously, for the remainder of 2019, we have an Aladdin movie, the live action one with Will Smith that people are weird about.
Thoughts on that? Yay or nay?
I'm excited. I think it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'll definitely see.
I'm excited. Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
The live action Lion King.
That's gonna be awesome.
We have a Maleficent sequel.
Yeah. Oh. The first one was really good. Did you see that?
Okay. I did. It was pretty good. The Frozen 2.
So, so here's the thing. What are your thoughts? Because I see both sides of this, and I just kind of want to open it up. You're a big movie guy. You're literally in the Screen Actors Guild. Bill has seen dozens of movies. What are your thoughts on like just the concept here that you throw out this blanket of movies, right? And it's just like here are 15 to 20 titles that are going to surpass the next decade, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of the things you just threw out there to people are 2 and 3 and 4 and remake.
So
and what do you think about just a lot of sequels and remakes?
So I think that in a list like this, because as you go further down, you go further down the list into the 2020 and 2021 movies, you find a lot of like the untitled Kingsman sequel or a Bob's Burgers movie, right? And in a list like this, you're telling people, hey, look at these things that you know and get excited because these things that you know are coming, right? So it's not necessarily about like being excited that Fox is remaking West Side Story for 2020. But it's,
are they really?
Yes, they are.
Alrighty.
But
who's going to play Maria?
Not Natalie Wood.
Aww.
She drowned. It's the only wood that didn't float.
Oh, wow.
But you look at it and it's, yeah, I'm going to tell you that there's a West Side Story movie or there's going to be a live action Cruella De Vil film because you know who Cruella De Vil is and you're going to be great, as opposed to like, hey, we have this really fun new property. Like, you know, it's about a talking mouse that fought in the Civil War. And it's just like, oh, I don't know anything about that, so I don't care.
Fievel?
Yeah. He went west once.
He went west, and then lifespan of mice isn't that great, so he died.
Oh, no.
Everybody's dying. But you know what I mean? No. So on something like this to announce...
Fievel's definitely dead.
Yeah, Fievel's definitely dead. But that's what you know. That's what I'm looking at with stuff like this, where it's like, you like Star Wars. These are the Star Wars movies we have in the pipeline. So while I'm excited for... the movies that they announced, this isn't going to be like some of the movies that we talk about, because inevitably the next Frozen is in here. You know what I mean? Like in this release schedule, and it might not have made this list, but it's definitely worth, you know, we're going to talk about the sequel the next time we make this list.
Yeah. Just want to throw this out there that if you're having a good time, we're going to have the most fun that we have all month long. It's Be Heard. It's immediately following this show. So if you're listening live like you should be every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, we will send you a link to the stream if you sign up now on Patreon, or if you become a Twitch subscriber, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. If you have Amazon Prime to get those packages next day for free, you can subscribe for free. If not, it's $5. That $5 goes a long way. The more subscribers we get, the more the channel builds. It just really does help a lot. And we do think that we are worth $1.25 a week. I do believe that we have earned that. So $5 a week through Patreon or twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. You completely control these shows, and without fail, every single time that we do one of these, people say, that's the most fun I had, and that's the best thing you guys do. And we love it, and it's that part. If you want to listen live, it's probably a little late to get your questions in, but maybe not. If you do it right now, we'll answer them.
If they're text questions, you can get them to me.
Do it. And then so patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, if you're like, man, I didn't listen live. You can still, if you're on iTunes, Podomatic, Lork Normal, Stitcher, whatever you're listening on, you can still subscribe. We'll do it again next month. And all the backlogged content from Patreon is available right away. If you're like on a road trip and you're like, my God, I need podcasts, there's years worth of backlog stuff that you can get on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. And hey, $5 is, you know, a little bit a month for you and a whole lot for us. It all adds up, and it just, you know, lets us know that this thing's growing and going. And we definitely appreciate it. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. And Sidious Pie just resubbed, and you guys are awesome. And we really do appreciate it. We know how many of you guys are out there, and we love you. And sign up today, and we appreciate it. So when it comes to like sequels and stuff like this, right? So I see both sides of the coin. Because on the one hand, people are like, well, I want original content. And right. I do understand that, because I also do want original content in theory. However, there also is something to be said on the, you know, we talk about this with WWE all the time. There's icky business decisions that come with wrestling.
Right.
That, you know, people are like, I get it now in a way I certainly didn't 3 to 5 years ago. Right. So there's, you know, to when you talk about like, let's bring up Cesaro.
Sure.
I, 3 years ago, would have stomped my fists and been like, I can't believe that Cesaro's not a champion and nowhere close, and he's the best member of the roster and his cardio and his work and his crowd.
Bah, 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 bah.
And now, when we, and this isn't putting us over, this is just trying to lay it all the cards out there. When you have a lunch with William Regal and he goes, I don't need him to be the champion. Everybody that I use needs to have value to me. And if you are AJ Styles, you are the champion, and that is your value and all that stuff, right? But if you are Cesaro,
right,
you are multilingual. That's your value to me. You appeal to, you know, all sorts of, you know, I can send you to events. When you go out there and put on great matches and make someone look good, it's the Dolph Ziggler syndrome, is you're so good you're going to lose all the time. That it's like when you go out there and put on an A-plus match any given night, that's perfect. Because when I have a guy that I need to go out and look good, I can use you for that.
Right.
And it's an icky wrestling business decision kind of thing. Because you're like, but that guy's so good and I want him to be champion. And then you go, well, from a business decision, there's no reason for that.
Right.
And you go, ah, and I get you too. And I go, ah.
Right.
And it builds the frustration of being a modern day wrestling fan. But what I would not tell you to bring it back to the movies is the business decision is, yeah, I know I am more likely to sell, without exaggeration, 2.5 times more tickets to Frozen 2 than original idea 1.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, the other thing that, from a business standpoint, and I can speak exactly to this, right? Fox has 20th Century Fox and Fox Searchlight, right? And Fox Searchlight, we make those movies, Get Out, those type of movies where it's like, hey, this is going to be a first-time director. It's going to be a script that we found and think that there's some promise. There's a guy that made a short because the guy, it's the most recent Godzilla movie that's coming out, King of Monsters, the first one that had had Bryan Cranston in it. The director of that, they gave that to him because he made like a short film about monsters in Mexico. And they were like, let's do that. Right. Cloverfield, stuff like that, where you look at these movies that are smaller budgeted and they're paid for because Fox releases Despicable Me 47.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, true story.
That's
they're layups.
They're layups, right?
They'll always be 8-year-olds.
Here's a very prime example, right? Bob's Burgers is a movie that's being made so that this passion project of, let's just say, Kristen Schaal, right? She's one of the voice actors,
right?
She wants to make this independent movie about a woman who's grown up with a single daughter in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, in order for her to get the funding from Fox to do that, she's got to be in the Bob's Burgers movie.
And so there's movies that like I've enjoyed over the years that have become successes that were intended to be small, let's see what happens features.
Yep.
Two that come to mind right away that were definitely like, so what Toy Story paid for was Up and Coraline,
yep.
Right? So movies, like, I don't think Coraline was made by, Coraline's not a Pixar movie,
right?
But I think it has a Fox affiliation. But my point is like, something bigger than Coraline paid for the funding of Coraline.
Right.
And something bigger than Up paid for them to roll
Correct.
The dice on Up, and then Up became its own success. But when a writer, because if you ever heard the story of Up, it was a guy that like literally made a flip book in class when he was bored about a house that flew away. And then the house that flew away, and he started thinking about a story for it.
Right.
And he pitched the story, and it became really an iconic Pixar movie. You know
right.
what I mean? It's high on a lot of people's lists.
Oh, it is.
And you roll the dice on a project that does cost in the millions of dollars to fund these movies because they have the safety net, you're right, of Toy Story 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And things like that. It's absolutely true.
Like, here's a prime example, right? Let's just... Fox, or not Fox, but Marvel Studios and Disney can roll the dice and pay for Cloak and Dagger on Freeform because the Avengers Endgame made $2 billion.
Right, because when a guy... So, a great story, and I am not a Tim Burton guy. Like, I'm just...
I'm not. The funniest thing about Tim Burton is that his best movie that everybody gives him credit for, he didn't direct.
Yeah, he's a producer. But the thing about Tim Burton is, like, I don't like it, whatever. Just get that out there. But movies that he makes, like, you know, Johnny Depp is My Boyfriend, the movie.
Yeah.
That paid for him, like, you ever seen the movie Nine?
Yes.
So that movie's awesome. And what that movie literally is was it was a short. So Liam and I went to the same school. And when we graduated, we had something called the Portfolio Show. Now, he and I were in different graduating classes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think I was like a year before you or something like that. So I won my Portfolio Show. But the point being is that we had a Portfolio Show. And what you do is you go, this is the work you've done for all these years.
Right.
Show people that might hire you. Right.
Yeah.
And that was like a 9-minute short called Nine, right?
Yep.
And literally, Tim Burton saw it, and he goes, oh, what if I'd love you to tell me this whole story. And that movie was made because of that, and because Tim Burton has, I can make fun little movie money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's all the same point. Are you excited about what's like the number one thing on that list that people might not be like, so for example, the last list when they went like, they threw this out there and I would have been like, oh, there's a lot of potential in a Black Panther movie. That's a great character.
Yeah.
Ant-Man is surprising me to get a movie. You know what I mean? Are there, you know, I can't believe they're making a live action Beauty and the Beast. What's that going to actually look like? So are there any movies on this new wave that, you know, people might be skeptical about or anything that you go like, I think that might actually be pretty great.
The one that I think is going to, that I personally like and I'm looking forward to is the Kingsman movie, right? I really like the Kingsman. I think it's a fun franchise. I think that it bleeds a lot of what James Bond lacks in this day and age,
okay,
which is a certain semblance of fun.
Okay.
And so, you know, James Bond had to, basically, James Bond grew stale with Pierce Brosnan, and then Jason Bourne came out, and it was hectic and action-y.
And Mission Impossible.
And Mission Impossible shifted that way. So James Bond shifted that way, and then the Kingsman came out, and it's just like, I'm going to have Samuel L. Jackson have a lisp. And
you are right, because James Bond used to be, and still technically is, a spy. And so he usually didn't leave a trail of exploding mountains.
Right.
You know what I mean? Behind him, because he was like a secret agent.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know, the only stuff that blew up was the evil guy's lair.
Right, yeah. He wasn't like, you know, like jet skiing at gunpoint at a beach bash, you know what I mean, on fire.
Yeah, and so I
draw attention to yourself, James.
Yeah, but I do like the Kingsman. I think that it's a lot of fun. Egerton does a great job. I love him as an actor. I'm very excited to watch him be Elton John in a couple weeks.
You know what? The more that comes out about that movie, like the trail, the Elton John movie, the more I'm like, I'll give that a shot and watch it. I'm guilty of a legitimate sin, because it came out the trailer to that movie came out so soon after I saw the Queen movie.
Yeah.
And the Queen movie is so great.
Yeah.
That I saw the trailer for the Elton John movie and I was like,
yeah.
And I'm just like, well, how about it's own thing?
Well,
you know what I mean? And it looks pretty good.
So, allow me to gush about the subscription service stuff, right? I love AMC A-List and Showcase Subscribe. The second one I'm contractually obligated to say. I love them. I love that movie theaters are embracing the subscription model.
Yeah,
right? Because
is MoviePass alive?
MoviePass is technically alive.
Wow.
MoviePass, to me, is fascinating. And I was sitting in a room with the head of Showcase, like their marketing department, and I'm like, we were just talking about it, and I'm like, it's going to be the most important thing that will never get any of the credit, right? Yeah. Because MoviePass comes out and completely overhauls the theater system, because up until MoviePass came out, they're like, no, fuck this subscription nonsense. And then they're like, it's $10 and everybody loves it. It's like, fine, we'll do it.
Right.
Because I'm not going to let MoviePass make all the money.
I mean, no, not even screw a subscription service. Screw going to the movies.
Right.
Movie attendance was way down.
And so now it's like, so for $20 a month, I can see 3 movies a week. With Showcase for like 15, I can see 3 movies a month, you know, and it's just like, wow, I'm going to go see Detective Pikachu, which is a movie that, like, I would, if I had to pay for the ticket, I would have been like, that's a cute movie.
I'll get to it. I had MoviePass and I saw, no lie, minimum 10 movies that I had no chance of seeing in theaters without it.
I've seen Avengers Endgame 3 times because I can.
Right, exactly.
I paid for the ticket for the one movie and I've seen it 3 times.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing.
You know what I mean? And it's like Detective Pikachu, John Wick 3, Aladdin, the Elton John movie. They're all coming out this month. And it's just like, yeah, man, I would have seen 1 to 2 of them if I was paying for it myself. And now it's like, I wonder when I'll have time.
Shout out to NASCAR and John for 3 months on Twitch Prime. Thank you so much, brother. Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Thank you for the months. And Rod, what about Adam? What's Adam? Adam with a T. What's that movie?
I think it's a theater chain of some sort.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I did not know that.
There's no Adams near us, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what subscription service that they have.
Yeah, that might be like a regional thing, because I'm not familiar with that chain of movies. And if that is a movie, I'm not familiar with that either. I have no information for you on that. I do like Adams. I'm comprised of them.
Ooh.
aren't we all? So let's get to this, because I definitely want to hear your guys' takes on this. Speaking of movies and movies that are going to be coming out, there's the big topic right now is the fact that Avatar is already got passed as the most successful, right? Or is
it's
on its
about,
way?
It's
on
about.
Its way?
Like, it's inevitable. Be. This movie's been in theaters for 2 weeks, and it's going to be in theaters for 3 months.
By the end of this show, it'll be the most successful movie ever, right? It'll pass Avatar. And to me, Avatar, and I saw you on Facebook post something about this, and I couldn't agree with you, the picture more. Avatar, to me, is just dreadfully overrated.
Yeah.
It has a park in Disney World. I can't I can't believe that. I can't believe that movie.
And they doubled down so much, they bought the studio that made it.
I know. And it was a big, it was a legitimate factor in their decision.
It was.
And it's like, that they have a park in Disney World, and they will forever, because they don't tear stuff down there.
Well, you look at the list that we were just going over here with the Disney, Pixar, Fox schedule through 2027, and you scroll all the way down in 2027, there's Avatar 5.
Yeah. Dude, that movie came out 10 years ago, and they don't have a sequel.
That's why there's a park.
I think it was 1984 until 1992 is the bridge between Terminator and Terminator 2.
Right.
And that felt like a long time. I was like, God damn.
The longest one, I think, was Godfather.
Okay, was it because, between 2 and 3?
Between 2 and 3, yeah.
Okay, and that could be it.
I think that one's the record. Right,
because I don't think this, because I knew that Terminator wasn't the record, but I just remember, because Terminator 2 is such a, I love that movie, and I remember being like, yeah, but though, it was just a point of trivia. I don't remember. Yeah, I wasn't alive in 1984. But the point of reference being, there's just like people are like, yeah, those movies are 8 years apart. That's a long time for people to expect you to remember the and people remember Avatar. They have a park in Disney World. I get you.
And it keeps getting pushed back too, because it was originally supposed to come out in like 2016 or 17.
Yeah. But Jesus, yeah, I saw that movie in 2009. I remember the people, my college buddies and I went to that movie in 2009, and it's just like, that was a lifetime ago.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just can't believe that.
I fell asleep in the movie theater watching that.
Super Troopers
and Super Troopers 2.
P. Vandy K. Oh, just there's your screen name. Super Troopers, Super Troopers 2. Yeah, that was a long time. I'm not telling you about records. I'm just saying that it's 10 years later and there's no trailer for the sequel.
Yeah, it's not even.
There's no trailer for the sequel. You know what I mean?
It's out in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, there's going to, so it's going to wind up being 11 years apart?
Something like that.
I mean, yeah, 12 years apart, because it's 2009 to 2021.
Yeah, jeez, ay caramba. You know what I mean? Just like, ay caramba. So what are your personal underrated and overrated movies just on your list?
So one of my underrated movies, and by underrated, you know, this is going to be a movie that everybody's going to go, what? And I absolutely love it. It's Running Scared, starring Paul Walker.
Okay.
Running Scared is about Paul Walker. He plays a Detroit City undercover cop trying to bust up a mob in Detroit. And he finally gets a piece of key evidence when the mob boss kills somebody with a gun. And he's tasked with getting rid of it. Well, he puts it into his evidence stuff, and he's like, I finally got the piece that's going to put this thing away. While that's going on, his son and his son's next door neighbor friend find the gun, and the next door neighbor's kid shoots his stepfather with it. So now the cops are looking for the kid that shot his stepdad. Paul Walker is looking for the kid because he has a crucial piece of evidence, and the mob is looking for the kid because the kid has a crucial piece of evidence.
What a world.
And it is very underrated, because people hear Paul Walker and immediately dismiss it.
Okay, my underrated movie immediately comes to mind when you say what's an underrated movie. A movie that bombed at the box office, right? And had no business being like an underground hit, but did turn into one, and is just legitimately top five favorite comedy of all time. Grandma's Boy. Okay. Grandma's Boy was a total, like, just it. I mean, I think it might have been in theaters for 11 showings. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it was terrible. But that movie, like, so I remember, I remember the year. Picture it, Sicily, 2006. Right. Yeah. That's a Golden Girls joke. I remember in 2006, my first apartment, like on my own, with my best bud and his girlfriend and my buddy Johnny, and we had a place together. And I remember one of my other good buddies Joey being like, you got to see this movie. And this is back in the day when if you wanted to watch a movie, your buddy would let you borrow his DVD. Yeah. What? What is that? Is it like a CD with pictures? And so my buddy Joey goes, you got to watch this movie. I promise you, you'll love it. And I'm like, okay, man. And it's one of those things where it's like, he gives it to you and it's like in the back of your head, I'm like, I'm not going to do that. But it's just like, watch it. Like, just watch it. And I remember doing it. And I'm like, I laughed audibly like the whole time. I loved it. It's one of those movies where I legitimately didn't want it to end, and I wanted to watch it again right away. And then I showed Derek the next day. I'm like, you got to watch this movie with me. He's like, okay, maybe. I'm like, no, like, sit down and watch this movie with me.
Right.
And he loved it. It was very viral as a DVD, and people that have seen it, I think, it's hugely popular with people that have actually seen it. Unfortunately, just more people haven't seen it. But yeah. Grandma's Boy is priceless. That is the best movie Adam Sandler's ever been a part of, and he's not in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's a Happy Madison yes. movie.
True, yeah. true. Yeah. Well, along those same lines, my most underrated movie that kind of bombed at the box office and actually only made $6 million in theaters was Billy Madison. And I audibly laugh every single time I watch that movie. There's like 15 different lines that I can quote
yep.
in that movie and just in scenes. And just, I'm not a huge fan of the current Adam Sandler, but like the Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison era Adam Sandler is incredible.
I respect the shit out of Adam Sandler, and I would love to be in his shoes. Just be like, and I'm talking current day. I'm talking current day right now.
You're paid to make shit bombs.
Basically, see, the thing is this guy
with your friends.
This guy makes movies with his friends that people see, so they make money, and he just likes making movies and likes his friends, so they are like, what do we want to do? Let's go make a movie that takes place in Hawaii.
Hey, Adam, you want to keep David Spade's career alive for him? Yeah, sure. I like that guy.
Yeah.
And Danny Frost is listening live, and he loves Grandma's Boy. It's fantastic. No, but it'll be right, though, because Adam Sandler, you're right. It's like one of those guys that's just like, yeah, look, I'm not Bill Murray in the second half of my career finding myself. Sorry, I like getting hit in the nut jokes with my pals.
Right.
And like, look, is it simple and is there easy to criticize? It is. But at the same time, he's like, I'm not hurting anybody. And yeah, I just want to make a movie where like somehow, some way I'm dating Jennifer Aniston and, you know, my buddy rolls down a hill and lands on a cactus. Sorry, right. That's my sense of humor. I'm 50.
And you know what? You people see it. People see it.
Everybody sees it because you know what? There's a market out there because there's always going to be people that are also in their 40s that have just always liked Adam Sandler.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's that. There's people that just want to bring their kids to a no-think movie. They always will.
He makes the definition of a family comedy. You know what I mean? And I just respect somebody because anybody that's sitting in front of a camera or vlogging on YouTube or here on Twitch, you know, you're all sitting there being like, oh, I would love to make more art than Adam Sandler. It's like, no, that guy makes a couple $1 million a picture.
I didn't realize it until he hosted Saturday Night Live this week, but he said he's made not him personally.
His movies.
He's personally made $4 billion at the box office.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can believe it because if you think about just how many movies he's made, you know, yeah, they'd add up.
And they all make money. He doesn't lose money. I mean, it's just that's the type of career that I would just love where it's just like I'm gonna go hang out with my friends and make movies because that's what I like to do.
Even the bombs do well.
Shout out to Ed Sharp, he's joining us live. Hey, we love you, man. And Danny likes your laptop sticker.
Yeah, he does. It's Batman. It glows.
It is a favorite of mine as well. What are some overrated movies? Because there's, to me, a plethora, and I have some that are going to be unpopular to say.
I have a bunch that are over, and I should have prepared this better, because I knew this was coming.
Okay.
One thing that, I mean, I'm going to say it just because I've seen the movie a million times, is Citizen Kane. For the life of me, as like a film nerd, I can't stand Citizen Kane.
Okay.
Like, it's, I get it. I understand. So Citizen Kane is, quote unquote, the best movie ever made. And the problem is that I grew up past Citizen Kane. So everything that makes Citizen Kane revolutionary, I grow up as commonplace in all of the movies, from the shitty kids movies that I watch to the more sophisticated adult stuff that I watch. And it's just like, I can't get into it. It's slow, it's boring, and the Rosebud reveal at the end doesn't hit as hard because it doesn't actually mean anything.
Citizen Kane to me is one of those movies where it's like blasphemous to say that somebody from the 1960s NBA would get smushed to a million pieces in a modern basketball game.
Yeah, right.
And you go, how dare you tell me that, you know, Sneakers McGillicuddy wouldn't have, you know what right. I mean? He would have averaged 30 assists a game, you know what I mean? It's like, nah, because Sneakers McGillicuddy, you know what I mean, played against a bunch of people that didn't know how to play basketball in Chuck Taylors, you know what I mean? And was a 5'11" white guy, you know what I mean, who would get smashed to pieces. And it's okay to say that things from the past were good because it was the best example of them at the time.
Right.
It's okay to tell you that Babe Ruth never faced a major league pitch from a black guy. You know what I mean? And in, right. and there were guys in the Negro leagues that probably could have struck Babe Ruth out, but he never actually got a chance. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, if can you imagine if Larry Bird didn't have to play against black guys? Yeah, Larry Bird would still be winning championships. You know, you know right. what I mean? And so it's like, you can throw those things around. You can say that just because your footage is in black and white doesn't mean that it has to live on the top of the list forever. You know what I mean? Like, right. if you want to sit down and, you know, I hate this team with my heart and soul, but if you want to sit down and tell me that Derek Jeter is a more all-time Yankee than Mickey Mantle, like, look, I'm not even telling you you're right, but it's not blasphemous to have these conversations.
Right.
And that is where, like, that's where Citizen Kane comes in, where it's yeah. like, yeah, at the time right. when movies were constructed to be...
like a play.
Right, a play, and quite frankly, they weren't intended to be kind of thinkies. There was, yeah, a, right. there was a guy and a gal, and you know yeah, what I mean? Right. You know what I mean?
And Charlie Chaplin was still running around.
Right, you know what I mean? And I and you know what I mean? Like, and I might tie him to a train track, you know what I mean? Or whatever, whatever. And Citizen Kane was the first one to be like, what if we took a deep psychological dive into the psyche of a human being? And yeah, so at the time, you're like, wow, this is something that I didn't know cinema could be.
Right.
But I do think it's okay to evolve with the times and been like, yeah, it's great, but when do I get to a point where I get to say that things have been better? You know what yeah, I mean? Right. Like, that's just, that's the reality of it.
I through the discussion, I have remembered what my real answer is. But I have to say the joke answer, because on that movie show, which you can find on NAI Pop, I famously hated, and I got so much hate for this, on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay.
Starring John Candy and
I have never seen
Steve
it.
Martin.
I know it's one of those movies, it's like people can be like, how have you not? I'm waiting oh, for it. How have you never seen it?
I'll save you. It's bad. Oh, wow. I don't like it, oh, and wow. it's overrated. Okay. Right?
All right.
But my answer is Scarface.
Oh, well, go for it then.
My answer is Scarface. Scarface... is just too fast of a movie, and the idea behind Scarface and the excess of it got into rap culture in a certain way at a certain time when it just kind of ballooned and became this, like, you know, oh, it's they want to put it on the level of Goodfellas and The Godfather, and it's just not.
Okay. I would also tell you that like, my overrated in the same, kind of the same time frame as this decade before, but same idea. Because just to piggyback off Scarface before, so, yeah, I think Scarface is, like, another, again, it's another example where it's right. the early 80s, right?
Right.
And people had not seen at the time. Now, it's not the first movie to be violent or whatever, but it's like, to me, I can't recall a movie made before it that it's like a pile of cocaine.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, all the
chainsaw in the bathtub.
Right. You know, right. Getting mowed down with a Tommy gun. You know what I mean? After you stuck your head in $50,000 worth of cocaine. You know what I mean? Right. And it's just like, that movie was so, I mean, the swears and the F word and the blood and the violence and the drugs. It was just like, I don't think people had seen anything like it. And so because it was so shocking, you right. know what I mean? It's the same reason to me, in the same kind of vein, why, like, the Boondock Saints is so popular, because at the time it was just like, yeah, this is a story about guys that are vigilantes, but they're not Batman. They're like blow your head off in a courtroom vigilantes.
Yeah.
And I just think that's why that movie's so beloved, because it's not, it's good, but yeah. I don't think it's like every dorm room has it good. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
It's, well, because it falls into that same thing of like Reservoir Dogs, where it's like Reservoir Dogs isn't a...
Oh, I like that movie.
Oh, it's a good movie, but it's not a well-executed movie.
You don't think so? In what way? Well,
in terms of quality, right? In terms of quality, I think that the cinematography is great. The fact that they made the most out of that one room yeah. is great. Like,
the acting's superb.
The acting is very superb. But what I mean is that it's, you look at Quentin Tarantino's body of work, right? This is the anomaly. This is the anomaly movie out of the Kill Bills that has a scene so violent that they had to make it into black and white
yeah,
because
sure.
he put on a Kung Fu Samurai movie,
yeah.
then made a spaghetti Western. Well, he made several. Yeah. He made a World War II epic.
He blew Marvin's head off.
He blew Marvin's head off. You know what I mean? And, but even the jump from Reservoir Dogs to Pulp Fiction,
yeah.
right? You look at those two movies side by side, and there's a jump in quality. And not that Reservoir Dogs' quality is poor, but it's the same thing with Boondock Saints. Boondock Saints hits that college age guy a certain way, and especially the college age filmmaker, because there's a relatability to it in terms of like, this is a movie that I feel like if I put my shit together, I could make. And I think that that's why, at least in the college that we went to and colleges like ours, is why it exists.
Sure. My old-timey one, not old-timey, but my of the era period movie that were people like, it belongs on everyone's top 10 cinema lists and you're wrong, is Taxi Driver. Holy crap, that movie's so goddamn boring. Yeah. You Talking to Me is 30 seconds of a five-hour movie, it feels like.
Yeah.
The movie takes, in my opinion, one of the sharpest turns I've ever seen a movie take. The beginning of the movie is this awkward guy trying to find himself. He has a crush on Michelle Pfeiffer, and he's trying to like get Michelle Pfeiffer to like him. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, that's just...
And she's a child, by the way.
Right, yeah, exactly. But that's and then all of a sudden, it's like, that's not what the movie's about. And now he's this taxi driver losing his mind, and like he drives a guy to like kill somebody or something, and then he has like these long, weird, boring conversations, and it's supposed to be like, yeah, the life of a the big city, all the people you pick up. It's like, that's not what they accomplish. And like, that's that movie like of the period where I'm like, Taxi Driver is just Taxi Driver is one of the best movies of all time. I don't like it. I know.
Yeah, no, I can see it.
I don't like it.
I can see it. I think it's fine.
And here's the one that'll be controversial. Now we'll do good. Now we'll do good radio. There has been, count them, one great Star Wars movie. One. There are some good ones. There are a lot of bad ones, but there has been one great Star Wars movie, and I need to hold that franchise into an acclaim I don't think it belongs in, because I'll tell you that its popularity and its overall quality are on two different planes. There, I said it. Nerds.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, and this is coming from an adamant Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Star Wars, and Star Wars, the first one, is fun. Right? It's fun and it captures the imagination.
That's one of those good movies.
It's a good movie.
New Hope is good.
New Hope is good. And again, it was a perfect storm for that film, because when that movie was released, we didn't see that kind of thing. Right? And so it blows the doors off of everything, because it's like, oh my God, look at what these people did. Like, from like an execution, it's awesome. It's basically a World War II epic that we made in space.
As groundbreaking as Wizard of Oz.
Great.
That correct. Kind of like next frontier.
And then Empire Strikes Back is great. That is
excellent.
A great, great movie. It is the standard unto which the twist is at its highest, right? The problem is that once you find a twist, once you know the twist, it's really hard to rank them, I guess. But in terms of, that was the first one, right? That was the first great big cinematic twist. Maybe second if you count Norman Bates in Psycho.
Sure, yeah.
Right? We're going to kind of top those two together. And then Jedi comes out, and Jedi is a good movie.
It's okay.
It's a good movie. Like it.
It's okay.
And so then you look at those three, and those three movies together do belong in that of greatest trilogy of all time. It believes it does have the acclaim.
But you can
say,
can it be considered a trilogy anymore? How do you get away with that?
Well, now this is the second part, as like a Star Wars fan, that you have to admit, right? The prequels are bad, right? The 9/8, 9/10 of it. I finally got there.
9/10.
Yeah. And 2 9/10 of
Scott Steiner over here.
Yeah, yeah, right. Doing fucking math. I didn't expect to do it. Basically, the last 20 minutes of Revenge of the Jedi or Revenge of the Sith is the best part of the prequels, where we
even
watch
down to. No, and her dying of a broken heart.
I said the best part of those. I didn't say it was good. But you're talking about like those aren't that great.
Yeah.
And so now that brings everything down a peg, right? And now you have the first of the new ones, and That one's good. I really liked it. I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want to sit there and criticize that, it's like, oh, it's just a retread of A New Hope. And it's like, all right, well, I can't fight you too hard on that.
I can do a lot of scenes for scenes on that
movie. Oh, yeah. And so there's that. And it's like, oh, even down to the trash compactor stuff that they reference. It's like you were just winking and nodding the whole time of like, look how fun this is. We made a Star Wars movie.
How about the guy? Is it Poe that's just Han Solo?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes. Yeah. You know what basically. I mean? Yeah, but then you
have R2-D2. Yeah, you're just a ball this time.
Yeah, right. but then you look at the next one, which is the one that everybody hated, The Last Jedi. And there were parts of that movie, because I appreciated that they went in a different direction, but there are parts in that movie that it's just like, I don't understand why at film 8 you decided to introduce intergalactic space fuel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, right, yeah. How can you run out of fuel now?
Like, really? Enough fuel for one more jump to light speed.
Yeah, the worst part is that we already established in the great one that we had talked about that the hyperdrive can break.
Right.
The hyperdrive broke in the Millennium Falcon, and that caused some problems.
Right, but it ran out of gas.
And it broke in the star speeder from Naboo that ended up getting
everything's off limits now when you can have midichlorians. When the force can either just be in you at birth or not. Yeah, the force is like, the force is just anemia. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like, you know what I mean? And so now you're talking about that, and we'll see how it wraps up, but you're the only thing that Star Wars has going for it now in like a film lineage standpoint, because now it's very much in the same vein as, and we were talking about this a little earlier, is like, yeah, it's in that Indiana Jones and James Bond category, mm-hmm. where it's like your film institutions now, and we're going to keep making these because people enjoy them, but your quality has gone down.
Yeah. And like, I admit that, like, what I consider myself with Star Wars is like, I like it. I will see it. I've seen them all. I liked Rogue One. I like a lot of them, yeah. right? And I really, really enjoy Empire. But I have had a very, very difficult time sinking my teeth into episodes 7 and 8 so far.
Yeah.
Just because I find the character of Kylo Ren to be disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed as like my film nerd. You know, we talk about how everything has a business decision too. I don't like the casting. You do not look like Darth Vader's grandson. Yeah. You don't look like, well, how do you know? Darth Vader's wearing a helmet. Okay, how about you definitely don't look like Han Solo and Leia Skywalker's kid. I don't like the fact that I thought you were, and I know. You're going to tell me, and I know, don't do the sin of write the movie and then get mad. But not write the movie. I thought you, what the appeal from the first trailer and your helmet and your vibe to me was, okay, this guy is just all the evil parts of Anakin.
Right.
Right. This guy got none of the good. It's all of the bad.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't need Ren to be his sister. I didn't need them to just do Star Wars, to just do the first, you know what I mean?
Right.
But the fact that they have no connection to me is bad. Really strange.
Yeah.
I don't get why he saved her life so many times now. Yeah, I always thought that had a purpose. And her parents being of no consequence is weird to me, because she has no connection to Luke Skywalker at all, but they have this bond. And like, sometimes I think that the things that they wanted to be like, no, we're going to do it different, are not those decisions. Right. That's just weird.
Yeah, makes sense.
And like, again, Kylo Ren to me, the character overall, wildly disappointing, because that guy's not just vicious. I have been waiting for more than a minute and a half of Rogue One Darth Vader this whole time. And I thought that kid was going to be it, and he's not. Yeah. He's moody, and he's just he's more Hayden Christensen than James Earl Jones. You know what I mean? And it just bums me out.
Right.
We'll take a break. And when we come back, we're not taking a break.
Let's keep going. Okay. I'm just saying, let's move on to the next topic.
Oh, but let's do that.
Are we doing Game of Thrones?
Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I do think it's really funny because the internet kind of broke when there was a Starbucks coffee cup on a table in Winterfell.
I don't watch Game of Thrones. I have seen that though, floating around.
I find it to be so funny. I'm shocked that it made it, because in today's day and age, and especially with how long they've been working on this, even if you have Adobe Premiere, they have a content aware fill. They just like released it a little while ago, right? So some idiot like me could do it, right? but definitely a professional After Effects editor and colorist that would have noticed it could have just masked it out on the table. Yeah. So I think that it's hilarious that a coffee cup made it through.
I think this is legitimately, because of all those reasons you just stated, just nobody caught it.
Yeah. It's funny because that's the type of thing where you're focused and like being in a production like that. And shout out to all of my friends that listen to this show that participated in the 48-hour film festival this past weekend. That's always bananas.
Yeah, that's cruel.
I've done it a million. I've done it a bunch of times, and every time I tell myself I'm never going to do it again. And this year I stuck to that. So, but you look at it, and it's just like, man, you're worried about so many different things. Like, that editor needed to get that scene done. We needed to get it done, and there were a million edits, and of course we did. You know, you probably noticed it originally in the thing and was just like, yeah, we'll mask it out later.
But I wonder if he literally, because it's brown enough like the table, that he just thought it's like, yeah, it's one of those goblets or something. Just
yeah,
I really think it was just a complete oversight.
Oh yeah,
I think it's just like you stare at something long enough, you don't notice the details anymore.
Right. I think that that's exactly what happened. Or they acknowledged that it was a thing and they were like, we have to mask it out, but that takes time.
Right.
So let's get the picture locked first and then go back and do it. And they got the picture lock and it was like, we just got to get this in, take it.
Maybe.
And they forgot about it.
Maybe. I mean, it could very well be the case. I do think it's funny just because it's like, it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's the biggest show in the world and it's the medieval. They went to a medieval Starbucks, you know? So, I mean, like, I can, you know,
it's very fun.
The truth is, but just from making films, it's just like, if you want to go from like the James Cameron be a dickhead about it, it's like the cup should have never been on the table. Certainly not on a shoot day. Like, yeah, the cup should, like, even if you're the director, right, going over there and being like, hey, Emily, this is some direction for you. The cup should never have been on the table. Somebody, the continuity director failed. The director failed. The assistant director failed. The DP failed. The editor failed.
Yeah.
The cast failed. Nobody, like, I'm looking at a girl who is looking at both, like, I'm presuming some sort of medieval, I don't know, Game of Thrones, like some sort of ogre dragon protector and a mocha latte. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, right, you never, you know, like, it's just incredible to me that this coffee cup from space just found a way to, like, I just,
yeah, right,
like, this John Cena invisible coffee cup just found its way through everybody's eyes.
Yeah, but the, you know, to its credit, though, because I also want to point this out. This is the first one, right? The internet broke because of this coffee cup, and this is the only time that they've made a mistake like this.
Sure.
You can point out, there's a bunch of shows, and you can point out stuff like this all the time.
Well, Ben-Hur was wearing a wristwatch. If you go back and watch Ben-Hur, like from the 60s or 70s, yeah, or that movie came out, there's a scene where he's wearing a wristwatch.
Yeah. There's always in shows when there's they have a set built, you see the dolly, they always miss the top of it.
Yeah.
Like, so you can like see the truss lights and stuff. So.
And the room is just full of cinematic decisions.
Spoons.
All right. So before we take a break, we will. We talked about this last week. The directors, it was Sega and Paramount, have come out and said, "Yeah, we get it. You don't like the way that guy looked. We'll change it."
Yeah.
Just what do you think about the fact that Sonic the Hedgehog will be changed, the model of the character?
So I've talked about this, and you're going to be the only person that I've talked to about it that's going to actually understand what I'm talking about, because I tried to talk to about it with Mike and he didn't get it. When the Power Rangers movies came out, right, the original one back in the 90s, they took the costumes from the show, and because the costumes on the show were spandex, they movified them and made them more armory, right? And so you could notice that it was more of an armor as opposed to the spandex that was on the show, right? Then they decided in 2016, 2017 that they were going to do the Power Rangers, and they were like, what does everything look like? We're not going to do that.
Right.
We're going to make multicolored Iron Man because that's what the people want. And I asked the same question when we talked about this last week that I will bring up again. Who is this movie for? It's not for kids because kids don't know who Sonic is because they don't make Sonic games anymore.
Well, they do, but
they're not as popular.
Right.
So it's for an older demographic, and you design the character to not look like that person. Right? Or that mascot.
That's the strangest thing, is right. You're right, because this is like, you're right, in that who was this model for? Because if you're going to make a Sonic in the real world movie, which I already think is dumb, if I'm being honest with you, because now it's just like, what is real and what isn't? I just don't like those movies where it's like a talking hedgehog. Wah. If they wanted to make a Sonic movie, that look, it should have been in the spirit and vein of The Lion King, where it's just this world that looks real, but it looks like Emerald City is real, and the robots are real, and it looks, you know what I mean? Like, there are no, you know, zebras bowing to this lion, but everything looks like it. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what it should have been, instead of like, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog's in New York or whatever this stupid movie is going to be.
Right.
But yeah, you're right that, you know, we talk about it online, you know, when we chat about the show, it's just like, they just should have taken the model of Sonic, pick whichever one, pick the newer updated one, or the classic one that's a little stubbier, something from an actual video game, and then just put fur on it.
Right. Because the fur design of this character is pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
It's really good. It's the body shape that's weird.
Right.
Right? And so just take Sonic and put that fur on.
Because you're like, oh, well, we wanted to make him look real. Oh, you wanted to make like
a 1 foot hedgehog isn't blue?
A hedgehog is like a 3.5 ounce animal that's the size of a guinea pig that doesn't run fast, that isn't blue, that doesn't talk, that isn't anthropomorphic, that doesn't wear sneakers. Yeah. What do you mean you wanted it to look real, you idiot? Sonic the Hedgehog is a blue thing with spikes and like, God damn it. Yeah. This is a movie where Cyclops runs into Sonic the Hedgehog. And you're like, well, all right, but we have to make it look real. It's like, God damn, no, you don't.
So now the internet bitched and moaned, and the studio conceded. So now this is what I have to say to the audience, right? Because now it turns to you, right? We've seen this happen with wrestling, and I don't want to see it happen with fan service movies, I'll call them, right? Because the Yes Movement happens and everybody throws a bitch fit and Daniel Bryan becomes the WWE champion kicking and screaming and WWE didn't want it and all that nonsense. Look it up. It's the Yes Movement, right? And from that moment on, I feel like while the high was extremely high, the fan base has gotten worse since, because they haven't been able to reach a level of concise, I want this. Yeah. It's so divided and everything sucks unless it's my idea and what I want. And so now WWE has cannibalized itself to the point where the fans suck and WWE hates the fans. So they don't care anymore. And they're like, we're just going to do what we want because you're going to hate it anyway. And so I don't want films like this to get to that point where it's like, yeah, we did it. High five. Pats on the back. We got Sonic changed. And then nobody goes and sees this movie or hates it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, well, now you feel like you have unnecessary power.
I see both sides of it. And you're right, because it's the Daniel Bryan and Sonic the Hedgehog, if you can believe it, are the same thing. Because you're right. On the one hand, and it's worth saying, what WWE's decision-making at the time was wrong. Bringing in Dave Bautista to wrestle Randy Orton and thinking that was going to be the best possible main event to that year's WrestleMania is wrong, right? So the fact that people got together and changed that is good. That Sonic the Hedgehog looked stupid.
Right.
So the fact that they're changing it is good. But you are right,
right,
that the precedent of if I kick and scream enough, I'll change whatever I want. People, like society, people aren't good enough to get together and rally for the right thing all the time. So, like, yeah, in these little bubbles, it's good that we got together and rallied for Daniel Bryan. It's good that we got together and, like, we're like, that's not an acceptable Sonic the Hedgehog. But is what decisions then moving forward are worthy of revolt?
Right.
And I think that standard will get lower and lower.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? I agree with you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the WWE wild card rule makes a lot of sense. AEW strikes a deal and more. The New Age Insiders will be right back. Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda, but it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie J. Makowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Makowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
What if we had ourselves a wild card rule? I mean, we've had the superstar shakeup. That's tremendous. On top of that, what if I allowed 3 members of SmackDown to come to Raw on a given occasion? What if I invited 3 members of Raw to come to SmackDown? We would have ourselves a wild card rule. There's no telling what the hell would happen. I'm a genius.
Oh, God, I hate it so much.
I'm a genius.
So I've been waiting to talk about this.
Oh, good. The Celtics are only down 13 at the half. You bums.
See you later.
They're bums. Pathetic.
Oh, you bums.
They're absolutely pathetic.
One of the most disappointing teams in this town's history. Bums.
And there was a Patriots team that was coming off a Super Bowl win, I think, that just like crapped out in the divisional round.
Yeah, you bums.
Yeah. Anyway, this wild card rule is exactly the type of thing that I can point to show you what I'm talking about when the creative direction of this programming lacks now, right? This is why you're bad, because the idea of the wild card rule is that 3 members from Raw can show up on SmackDown and vice versa, right? At any given time. So what you're telling me is that you want to drum up excitement for your show that is getting historically worse by the week, right? And what you're going to do is you're going to say, well, at any given time, anybody can show up on any show.
I'm a genius.
Thank you, Bill. That was perfect. And what I would tell you is that drumming up excitement that something might happen isn't a reason to tune in. And if I hear that somebody showed up and did something on a show they weren't supposed to be on, that doesn't make me want to watch the next show.
Let's start there, because there's so much to talk about with this, but let's start there, right? So if SmackDown, and I know that Raw is their priority, and Raw's ratings, I think, are technically worse, or at least worse based on what they expect them to be kind of idea, right? Yeah. So, like, fewer people might be watching SmackDown, but they expect that kind of idea, so it's like an adjust for inflation sort of conversation.
Right.
But the reason I bring that up is because if SmackDown's ratings aren't crushing it, so let's just say, for example, that, like, Raw's ratings are plummeting, but SmackDown's are going in the right direction, we can't figure out why. It would make a lot of sense to me, because if we're going to watch this like a TV show, right? We'll do it from a TV show perspective, right? Let's just say that Full House's ratings are dipping, right? Well, that would be a good excuse to have a cameo from Urkel, right? Because Urkel's ratings are through the roof. And so if I stick Urkel on Full House, maybe we'll re-energize that for them too.
Right. Right. And so now with that, that's a perfect example. Because so now I tell you that Urkel's going to be on Full House. Well, you like Urkel. Well, why do you like Urkel? You like Urkel because Urkel has character depth and a point of view, right? And so he is inherently interesting. And if I'm going to tell you that this person is going to be on this show that I find interesting, I want to see what he does.
Exactly.
But if you don't tell me what people are going to be on what show, then I don't have a reason to tune in because it might not be the people that I want it to be.
Yep.
And the... I'm trying to think of the right word, but the excitement of randomness and anything can happen.
Anticipation
doesn't substitute the fact that you have terrible characters and worse storylines.
Yep.
Because let's just say AJ Styles shows up on Raw. Well, I don't care enough about the character of AJ Styles.
Right. There's so much here, and I want to talk to you about all of it. Because to bring back to the Urkel thing, you're right. Why would I bring Urkel on there? Because you like Urkel, and there's reasons to, and that makes him a good character. But even on the other hand, right? But what if I told you that, like, again, in this hypothetical, Full House's ratings are struggling in a big way, and Family Matters ratings are struggling in a big way. And so you think that the answer is, well, what if a character from a show not doing great goes on another show not doing great? Will that help? It's like, how? How could that help?
How?
Because a show that I don't care about over here is now mixing with a show that I don't care about there. So just sticking somebody from an unsatisfying show to a different unsatisfying show is in no way the answer based on everything you said, because they're not deep enough. I'll give you an example point blank here, right? When it comes to WWE, because I'm just super real with you, I'm super real with our listeners. I don't care at all right now, buddy. I mean, I will watch this show. We didn't watch this week. Our cable was having issues. We got our box replaced this afternoon. We're good to go. But, like, I just didn't miss it. And here's the thing. So let me give you a prime example why, right? So, like, AJ Styles is finally fighting Seth Rollins in the WWE, right? Amazing. They haven't fought in 10 years or something and all that stuff and all that stuff, right? And what this story should be, right? What it should be, because Seth Rollins, because AJ Styles has developed into the bad guy here, right?
Sure.
It should be AJ Styles going after that dude and being like, yeah, we both came from the same place, right? And I had to work so much harder than you. You were a world champion in this company in your 20s, right? Because one guy liked you. And they told me no so many times. And I had to scratch and claw just to get here. And here you are, right? And you're the guy that got you're the guy that got Lesnar. And how come you got those opportunities and not me, because I am so much better than you. Right. And it's like, oh, you know what that is, man? That's a wrestling story. Right. And what this has turned into is...
Oh, it's just a character point of view.
Right. It's also just a character point of view. And then Seth Rollins has to be the kind of guy that goes, hold on now. I wasn't handpicked. I shine brighter than you, buddy. I was in the same talent pool with you the whole time, and they picked me. I didn't know anybody. I didn't get any flavors. Right. My last name's not Flair. I got picked, and that's because I'm better than you. And that's how Seth Rollins has a tit-for-tat response, and now you know what we got? A wrestling story. AJ Styles feels that Seth Rollins got all the opportunities he should have, and Seth Rollins is sick of hearing about it.
Right.
And it's like, wow, that's so much better than whatever they're not doing on TV, because you know they're not.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And so if it's like... I think WWE goes, what do you want? Laser beams and guns and a high-speed chase on Raw? No, asshole.
No.
I want the basics.
And I say this every time, and I'm going to look directly into the camera this time, right? Because every single time that we have this conversation, WWE needs to understand that television has evolved. We talked about the the movie list and how it's all sequels and, you know, franchises and stuff like that. Well, the reason is because the creative storytelling has moved to television. Television is where the complex characters and storytelling are, and that's where it lives. And World Wrestling Entertainment Federation has not evolved. They have not evolved to understand that complex characters exist on television now,
right.
And people expect there to be long-form narratives and complex characters on their television, and you just refuse to do it, and you think that, oh, well, maybe if Seth Rollins wrestles for the WWE Championship on SmackDown, randomly that might help. And
right.
It's just like, no!
Not even close!
No!
Not even close. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny. It's DC. It's what DC Comics is doing. It's like, we have made a variety of unsatisfying franchises. It's time for them to join forces, right? It's like, no! You know what I mean? No! And that's what, like, again, and shout out to Primetime Heel listening live. And Matt King completely agrees. Well, thanks, Matt. You don't have to just completely agree. We love you, but it's awesome that you do. And I mean that in general, not like just Matt, just like we will welcome anyone who doesn't agree. But like, yeah, I'm telling you, like I just off the top of my head in a minute and a half told you what AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins should be. And instead, it's going to be nothing. It
right.
will be nothing. It will have no consequence.
No.
You know, you want to talk about like, you know, so like, yeah, I'm going to do it because we
did. The most interesting thing that WWE is doing is Bray Wyatt said a couple years ago, I made a bunch of promos for a bunch of months, and there was a sentence in each one that...
Go find my actual mystery promo in the promos.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's the most interesting thing ever. And you're Pee-wee's Playhouse right now, and it's not going to matter because whatever you end up wrestling for, you're going to lose.
Right, and it's like, yo, that is awesome that he, over the years, like, slid
that.
Him, right? But guess whose idea that was?
His.
You know what I mean?
And look, guess what we did with it? Nothing.
Nothing. Because this guy has had just been like, I have all these ideas and plans, and they're like, neat. Neat. You get to be in a feud with a rocking chair because The Undertaker's not going to show up till game day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where you actually are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's who you always going to be. And I'm sorry. And if you're enjoying the Firefly Fun House, that's cool, man.
Sure.
It's a reason to watch, and I don't hate it. But what I am telling you is...
Don't get your hopes up.
And also, it's just like, yeah, there's no going back from the guy talking to the rabbit puppet in the... You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Because what do you think we're going to do? What do you think we're actually going to do here? What do you think we're actually going to do with the payoff? Goddamn nothing. You know what
right.
I mean? And you know it, and I know it. And you can tell me that, no, this is the beginning of his new chapter of the... Oh, and it's weird. And it's the most deep... If you weren't so stupid, you'd see it's the most deeply rooted, multi-layered... Blah, 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 blah. It's
nothing
not.
In
it's
this
not. It's,
nothing,
it doesn't make any sense. It's dumb.
Nothing on this show has... more than one layer
or consequence. Like, I know we talked about it last week. What can WWE learn from Marvel? Short answer, everything. Long answer, you know, consequence. So again, spoilers are out. The directors are talking about it. We get to too, right? Black Widow is never coming back. Never, right? They couldn't snap her back.
Yep.
They can't bring her back. She's gone. And you know why? That means that this movie had consequence.
Right.
These movies had consequence. People really, like, no, seriously, died. And so, yep, Thanos lost because, of course, he did. But there was a price paid, right? Vision, our timeline, Gamora, Black Widow, and Tony Stark are dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They are. I'm sorry. They're the directors. Yeah. I'm dead.
Well, here's the thing. If you saw Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, you'd know.
Right, exactly. So it's like, and with consequence. Why? So you walk away reflecting that it's just like, wow, this means something. They can't, because with WWE, that, like, just as an example of, like, I'm talking about consequence, we have a brand split, right? We go, that's where you are, and that's where you are.
And Survivor Series is the one
and
night
a
year.
Oh, and you fucking hate the other team. And rah, you know what I mean? This random lottery you found yourself, but now you have a blood feud with Tuesday, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or something great. Like, also, my favorite emo band, Blood Feud with Tuesday.
Yeah, right.
That's I love Blood Feud with Tuesday. Is just, I love them. I'm seeing them live with as I fall down this well.
Ooh.
As I cry tears is opening.
It's unbelievable, right?
It's a festival.
It's the bad haircut.
The Vans, the New Balance.
The Warped Tour.
It's the New Balance Somebody Hug Me Tour.
Yeah.
But the point being that it's just like with WWE, it's like, okay, so these shows and this is what we're going for here. And it's just like, but every week up to four different people can teleport over, so it doesn't actually mean anything. And it's just a way for, again, and again, it's a way for you to go like character on character with no thickness to him, with no juice on show A is going to go on show with no juice B.
But I'm also not going to tell you.
Right. Character with no juice is going to go to show with no juice, also, and together they'll have juice. And it's look, like, not how it works.
Look, I dismiss this. I dismiss this immediately because I think that this is just internet garbage, but I do want to bring it up, right? Apparently part of the reason for this too is because Roman Reigns was pissy that he's on SmackDown now.
Yeah, right.
And you know what I mean? And it's like, oh. Well,
so you just told me that SmackDown's not worth his time. Like, SmackDown's the B show. And, like, we all know that. But when a guy goes over there and he's like, oh, I don't like that at all. Why would I want to be on that? I don't want to be over here. Yeah. I want to be back over there. It's like, well, the question must be asked. What's wrong with SmackDown? You know,
right.
You know what I mean? And, like, look, I know. But I thought, you know, in this world, everything was all good. And, like, it was the house that AJ Styles built and all this garbage. And it's just like, yeah, there's no consequence, though. And that's a big part of this action. Like, it's like nothing means anything.
No.
Brock Lesnar doesn't want his title back because it's not convenient. You know what I mean? And I know it's Brock, but still, this guy has been the champion for forever, and he doesn't care. And I know, and
it's like nobody gets an automatic rematch, but then somehow Daniel Bryan has got his rematch for Kofi.
Right. It's just nothing means anything. And the stories are paper thin. And like, so Dean Ambrose, right? Like Dean Ambrose, his heel turn went from like, okay, this might be interesting, to immediately not interesting, to he's not here anymore,
right,
to he's John Moxley again. That's how unsuccessful and paper thin that character was. That character went from breaking the Shield up to a 2019 moment to being John Moxley by the spring.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's real.
Yep.
That's how much that guy looked around him and like, I hate this job.
Yes.
That's what Dean Ambrose did. Yep. Because Dean Ambrose did exactly what I was so wrong.
And
I was like, that guy's not going to wrestle for a year. And he's like, no, I really want to wrestle. I just, this place, no.
Yeah, there's actually a real chance that asshole is going to show up at all at Double or Nothing.
There really is.
Like, that guy's going to hop the barricade and beat the bag out of Adam Page.
If he can be there, I think he will.
So here's the thing. There's two things that I want to point out. One, I think is hilarious. And because Slice Wrestling, right, went on an unblock spree because obviously that guy looked around the internet and saw that there was that whole week where everybody was like, yeah, we're just going to talk a bunch of shit about this guy because we all blocked him.
Yeah.
Remember that week? It was really fun. We had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
But he went in and unblocked everybody. So I was a part of the unblocking, which I think is hilarious because he was like, yeah, somebody went in and blocked all these people and I have to unblock all of them. And I'm like, I am definitely like a 2 year plus block.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's like, school. I don't know how far down the list you went, but you went pretty far down the list if you unblocked me.
Yeah.
So I've been checking in and I have been waiting to pick my spot and I should have done it this time, but he tweeted out that he was going to Dean Ambrose as John Moxley was going to attack Roman Reigns on Monday.
Okay.
And when that didn't happen, that tweet mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah, and just be careful of the parody account. But yeah, no, that was probably him because that's what he does. He throws crap against the wall and then goes stuff change or just blocks.
Or he just deletes it.
And what he does, like Slice Wrestling, that's what he does. He takes educated guesses. Like he sees that Natalya's floating around and goes, Natalya's going to cost Rousey the title. And he puts it as report.
Yeah,
and then he goes, Natalya will cost her the title because it's an educated guess, and then it doesn't happen.
He
and
deletes it.
Or he just blocks you if you're like, hey, man, it didn't happen. He just blocks you.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so I found that to be really funny. But when that didn't happen, I was like, oh, yeah, no, WWE did not. When he hadn't shown up after the John Moxley stuff, because he would have shown up last week, so it's not them. Like that's the nail in the coffin. I didn't think it was them, but that's the nail in the coffin that it wasn't. So yeah, Adam Hangman Page is going to win the All Elite Championship wrestling title heavyweight nonsense or whatever. He's going to beat Pac.
Yeah,
right. And when he beats Pac for whatever that they're fighting for. Yeah, Dean Ambrose is Jon Moxley is going to show up and beat the bag out of Adam Page.
You think so?
Yeah, because how do you drum up interest in your wrestling program? You do something wrestling, and when Dean Ambrose looks at that goddamn microphone, looks at that hard cam and goes, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. Yeah. When he does that, the world explodes.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And then all of a sudden, the most interesting wrestling show is the YouTube show that has no wrestling on it.
I know. It's amazing. WWE is so, like, hanging by a thread with, like, people that are like, I just want to, like, because my final point on this is, so WWE and, like, the WWE isn't interesting enough right now.
Right.
Right? It's not, there's nothing to sink your teeth into. And my final point would be, we're spoiled. In their prime, let's call it 1998, 1999, right? What wrestling was there was two shows. It was WCW and WWF. And you had your brand, and it was on Monday, and that was it. And there was pay-per-views every month. But basically, it was Monday, and that was it. And you couldn't get enough, and you had this fever and this hunger. And it's like, I can't wait for next week, this two-hour show that's once a week. I can't wait. And then it was like, all right, there's so much success here. And WCW has added a Thursday show, and people were actually flipping watching it. So we'll add SmackDown because there's this demand. We got to meet this demand.
Right.
We're leaving money on the table. And then it's like, okay. And then we're going to have two whole rosters full of shows. And it's like, so everybody's important, kind of, but in a way that almost makes nobody important. And
right.
That will devolve into like, and it's just. There is now New Japan is accessible, Ring of Honor is accessible, AEW is making waves, your local indie scenes are doing
Impact
something.
Impact Wrestling's on Twitch.
Right, Fight TV can give you.
There's 100 people watching Impact Wrestling right now.
Right, Fight TV can give you any local indie you want to watch and any kind of that stuff. So for WWE, just be like, well, we're wrestling on TV used to be our gimmick.
Yeah.
Like when Vince McMahon like took over the territories and did cable, that was like the thing was like, yeah, if you want to watch pro wrestling on TV, I'm your guy. And now that that's not it anymore, you have to be like, okay, then what's your angle? And it's just like, well, I have the best wrestlers in the world. And it's like, okay, I won't even fight you on that. You do. Your roster is better than anybody's roster. Come on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Of course it is.
Excited to watch Okada versus Chris Jericho at Dominion at the end of the month than I am Money in the Bank next week.
And I just guess I don't think I remember being as, you know, like even just, again, it doesn't have to be crazy. It's wrestling stuff. Flip not being able to get onto All In.
Right.
Sneaking in the Battle Royal and winning is so wrestling and fun
right. And
easy to invest in. So again, I'm not being like, well, what if Kane came back and then The Undertaker and he form an evil alliance and Bray Wyatt turns out to be their dad somehow? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that.
Right.
I'm not doing that. I'm telling you that Flip sneaking into a Battle Royal was fun and you give me nothing to sink my teeth into.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah, I know, Matt, it's like, if you don't like it, don't watch it.
I didn't.
But the biggest thing is, and I'm going to next week, I promise you, it really was more of the cable thing than like, oh, I'm sticking up for myself.
Oh, no, I'm sticking up for myself. Yeah.
But like,
this show's bad. Fuck it.
Yeah, but like, I just think it's like, it's so much easier to fix than they're ever going to actually do.
Yeah.
What's the AEW pay-per-view deal, the details, as we get ready to wrap up the show? Because we're going to do Be Heard, which is the most fun we have. Mm-hmm. Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV or Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. If you didn't get a chance to listen live, you can hear Be Heard by going to Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, sign up. Your $5 means a lot to us. And we know how many people are out there listening. And if like half of you that are listening that haven't signed up, your $5 would like change our world, not just because how awesome it would be, but because we'd be able to buy the stuff we want to like make this thing get to the next level and spruce up this set. And we just have a lot to do, and you know it helps a lot. Patreon.com.
It's vinyl.
I know. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV. Sign up today, and we love you. And there's tons of content. It's not charity. You get a bunch of awesome stuff.
All right. So the All Elite Wrestling signed with Box Office, IT Box Office, I believe it's called. Yep. The company over in England, it's a huge pay-per-view provider. So now it's officially going to be on traditional pay-per-view. And as from what I'm seeing on the website here, I'm on itvboxoffice.com. It's going to cost €17.95 in euros, which on Google here, I just looked it up, and it says $20 American.
Yeah.
So if the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Double or nothing.
Yes.
Oh, so just okay. It's not like a monthly subscription or anything.
No,
like that.
Just double it or nothing. It's going to be $20.
Okay.
Right. So the direct translation to American dollar comes out to about $20. So we're hopefully we'll get a pay per view for $19.95 or $20.
Yeah.
If we're going to get it for the same price as the people in the UK, and that's a really really good deal to get people to watch.
It's just
the
right price. It just shows you exactly how understanding Kenny, the Elite are in terms of what wrestling is and needs to be in 2019, right? Look, here's the deal. It's until they can get up and running and get an over-the-top network that's similar to the WWE style stuff so they can actually have a subscription service that they can offer. Yeah, here's the deal. It's $20 for the pay-per-view. $20 is a no-brainer. That's an absolute no-brainer. I would get that 10 times because it's like, yeah, I want to watch this show. If you asked me to pay $60 for that, no. No, no, not doing it. I pay $10. I pay $10 for a WWE pay-per-view now, right? That's what I pay for it. And so, including WrestleMania, so yeah.
Plus other stuff.
Plus other stuff. So it's like, yeah, this one-off, I got to pay $20 because this is a thing you don't do often. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. If AEW, which I think it's too early to do, if AEW was to offer a subscription service, I would tell them that they should offer it at between $5 and $10, right?
Yeah.
$10 is the new standard. You could do like $7 if you wanted to be like this, you know, like we're even cheaper kind of marketing campaign, whatever, whatever. If you're going to do a monthly thing.
Yep.
That's the number.
$7.
But right, if you're right, I don't. Yeah, right,
that's
right,
that's the number I would pick.
Right, and then but if you're going to do like you said, this is a special occasion thing, and if you want to just tune into this special occasion, $20. Because I don't think anybody at this day and age, like, goddamn, a movie ticket's like $13.50.
Right.
You know what I mean? So right. I think that you can under a UFC fight's $100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think you can understand. It's like here's a live night of. I hate using this. Sports entertainment, you know what I mean? It's an entertainment show, it's a sporting event, however you need to phrase it, whatever, whatever. It's a 3-hour thing, it's $20. I just don't think a lot of people would balk at that. I think it's a fair price point. I do agree that it's a fair number. Because even 25 would be like, you just shouldn't. 20. Just 20, but 1999.
Right. Well, because I also look at it like a takeover, right? Because I think that that's the best one-to-one equivalent. And it's like, yeah, I'd pay $20 for a takeover.
Yeah.
So I'd pay $20 for Double or Nothing.
Right, exactly. Like, if, like, Wrestle Kingdom.
Yep.
$20. If that was on like channel 800, get it on pay per view,
right.
$20. Yeah, you got a deal.
But they have New Japan World and I pay $10.
There you go. So yeah, just closing thoughts on that. Are you excited for Double or Nothing?
Very much so.
They have given me no reason not to be.
That's how I feel.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They put up when it was put up or shut up time.
All In was great.
For All In. It was absolutely fantastic. I watch Being the Elite
week. All In was the best wrestling show we went into. It went in 2018, maybe, other than maybe NXT New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's that or that.
Yep. But I watch Being the Elite every week. And so, again, I'm abreast to all of the storylines that are going on for this. It's really fun that they're kind of recreating the flip thing where they've now banned MJF from StarCast.
That's right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, that's really fun. You guys get this. The ghost of Marty Scurll. Like, you guys understand that it's about the characters and the personalities and the gimmicks that make this show great.
As overly simplistic as this might sound, this is if Dusty Rhodes had YouTube, this is what he would have done with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like, wait, I get a free TV and I only had to create like clips at a time and you're cool with me being silly and embracing what pro wrestling actually is.
Right.
Like that's what he would do. It's like, let's use this to its fullest.
So WWE is like, hey, maybe some guy you like might show up on the other show and that'll be wacky and maybe you want to watch that, right? Whereas like the flip side to that is just like, oh no, the money now that SCU has signed with AEW has gone to their head, so they're making fun of people because their photos now cost $4,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, wow, that's really fun.
Right, because you know who would have done that? The $1 million man.
Right.
You used to do this stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's really, really funny that MJF, for the longest time, has been super, super sweet and nice to Cody because Cody was the guy that was, like, bringing him places. But as soon as Cody left the room, he was a dick bag. And it's just, and then Cody would walk back in the room and it's like, wow, that's really fun.
Yeah.
That's a really fun thing you have going on. Yeah. And then Kenny Omega recreating the Fyre Festival and just shelling out money and all this money that they don't have. And it's like, wow, this is really funny because the guy that's probably doing the biggest comedy bit is going to wrestle Chris Jericho in probably the best match of the night.
Yeah. It's balanced. It's the spirit of wrestling. It's kind of like, yeah, believe me, I want AEW to succeed. And like you said, they give me no reason to think they won't. And the fact that they have TV deals in place,
right,
pay-per-view deals in place, they're not flying by the seat of their pants here. And they're like, look, we don't have a what I would call a plan, but we believe in ourselves. Like, no, this is a business and a plan. And
they're executing it very well.
I agree with you.
And that price point, because that's the thing. Don't price yourself out.
They haven't to me, and there's there's time. But so far, I don't think they've made like a really what I would call like a bad decision yet.
Well, because they keep making fun of the ones that they have, right? The Michael Nakasawa stuff is hilarious because that's the type of thing where it's like Cody's offering everybody $1 million contracts to like these random guys at random shows. And they're like, Cody, we can't do that. You know what I mean? Right. And it's just like, so you're self-aware enough that this is what happened with WCW.
And people love people that are able to laugh at themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? People that are able to laugh at themselves are just always going to get over in a room more. Like, you know, just name anybody that just like takes themselves too seriously. And it's like, ugh, they're that, you know, that's the guy. Thank you for listening. We are about to take a break. We're not really. We're going to just jump right on over. We're going to answer your questions, do your topics. Yeah. Nothing is off limits. It's the most fun we have. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. Your $5 does matter. It goes a long way, and we will have a ton of fun. And you can listen to this show even if you didn't listen live. You should be. Wednesday nights, twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV. We're going to jump on over. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Starr.
And I'm Bill Dunn.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, including during these shows, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. The website is newageinsiders.com. Friends, the shows, the affiliates, everything that we've got going on, including the links to twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV and patreon.com/New Age Insiders. And as we jump over to have you be heard, thank you for making us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.